Welcome to Season 6 of the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. This season of the podcast is devoted to the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches His people about life in the kingdom of God.
After Christ comes back, like, is there going to be day after day, or is it just going to be one long, never-ending day?
No, that's a good question. There will be no night. People have often wondered the bigger question of, is, will there be time at all? Can there be time in eternity? And I don't know the answer to that question, except to say that physicists say that you have to have time if you have matter. But I don't know if the same physics will be there than we got, so I really can't tell you. It seems to me, though, that heaven is described in terms of sequences of events. So I think there will be some things that happen before other things and after other things. And so, to me, that's time. And I don't know, I don't have enough expertise to know what time and eternity, how all that fits. I don't have a mind that can do that. But I think so. I think there will be increasing progression. And so that seems like there will be time. And I don't know how there'll be lots of mornings with no nights, but God will figure that out. All right, Jim.
You said that some of the things that we might give to people, they may hurt and they may help. So is it up to us to evaluate whether it's going to hurt or help? Do we just give because we see them in need and we don't, you know, take that into our hands?
That's a good question. The question, you know, I think, yes, it is up to us to try and make some evaluations of that to the degree we can. We don't know for sure. You can never know for sure if a good gift is ultimately going to help or hurt somebody. But we do have the ability to use wisdom. And if you utilize wisdom and all your wisdom shows that it's very likely that a particular kind of gift would harm somebody more than it would help them, then you shouldn't give it. And if you have no reason to believe that, then err on the side of being generous and giving. So if you don't know if it's going to help or hurt, then go ahead and give and let God worry about it. But if you do have good reason to think, yeah, this is most likely going to hurt them. This is most likely going to spoil this child. This is most likely going to harm this person. You know, then we should utilize wisdom. So to the degree that you know, do it. To the degree that you don't know, leave it up to God. Just let Him worry about it. So, good question.
Shalom, Pastor.
Shalom.
If I win a lottery and I feel in my heart I'm giving generously, can my gift be accepted to the Lord?
If you give generously in the offering, will your gift be accepted? That's the question? Okay. It might, it might not. A person can have a motive of wanting to give generously to God, put money in the offering, and still have it be rejected by God. If that person is not a believer, they're not a child of God. They don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. And so they are not in the family of God. Then nothing they offer is acceptable. Because the only way a gift can be acceptable to God is through Christ. And the only way a gift is given through Christ is if you're a Christian, if you know Christ, if you've repented of your sins, given your heart to Him, and say, I'm going to follow you, I'm going to follow your way. It's only then that we can have this blessedness of giving to the Lord in a way that will be accepted, worshiping in a way that will be accepted. And so it all depends on that. But yes, if you know Christ and your motive is to express love to God, then yes, He will always accept the gift in Christ.
So there's some people out there who are really financially strapped.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they don't even know where their next meal is going to come from. And yet, but they have a heart for giving. And I guess my question would be, what is your response to someone like that that wants to give, but really their financials don't show that they can?
I think most givers wish they could give more than they can. They wish they could afford to. I mean, what's in their heart to give, they can't give because there's so much in their heart. And so when that happens, Scripture counsels us, work hard so that you can have more to give. In the pastorals, he counsels that. Paul counsels that. He says, don't let anybody be lazy, But instead of being lazy, work hard so that you might have something. He doesn't say so that you might have something to live on, but you might have something to give. And so we should try and make more money. We should see if we can get a promotion or some kind of... If your gift is giving especially, then, you know, my gift is teaching. And so I try and formulate my life in such a way that it'll allow for me to do that. I try, you know, I buy commentaries and I try and create an office environment that'll allow me to study and I do things like that. If your gift is giving, then you want to formulate your life around that. You know, sometimes people have said they're trying to make a decision between two jobs and they say, what does wisdom call me to do? Well, there's a lot of factors that play into wisdom decisions, but one of them is your spiritual gift. Is just using those two examples that I just gave, a gift of giving and a gift of teaching. Suppose one guy has a gift of teaching, and he's a layperson. He's not on staff at a church, and so he has to work a job. And another person has a gift of giving. And they're both trying to decide between two jobs. And one job pays six figures, but you have to work 80 hours a week. The other job, you only work 40 hours a week, but you get $35,000 a year. That the guy with the gift of teaching, what does wisdom call him to do? The wise thing for him might be to take this job here. He's maybe tempted by all that money, but he needs to resist that temptation and take this job that's going to allow him some spare time in the evenings to study God's Word so he can teach it. But the second guy, what does wisdom call him to do? For him, the wise thing is going to be to take the higher paying job, all else being equal. Even though he's tempted by all that free time, take that higher paying job because it will enable him to fulfill his gift and to give because he's really good at it. You know, giving is something that you can be good at or bad at. You can use wisdom and you can give in ways that really are effective or ways that aren't so effective. And the people with the gift of giving, they're really good at it. And so they want to develop that gift and fund that gift. And so you make decisions like that, trying to be able to... follow through on the way that God made you.
So I'm understanding this correctly, those people that are financially strapped, it's not that they have to give monetary funds, but time.
Okay.
And that way they're not going to miss out on the blessings. Is that
I guess that's the second half of what I should have said. That's true. If you can't give, I mean, if there's something in your heart to give and you can't give financially, there's a lot of ways to give. Everybody has time, right? We all have the same amount of time every day, so we can all give of our time. We can give of our prayers, our mental energy. We can be stingy with it. We can be stingy with our emotions, or we can give and enter into people's suffering and sorrow and be generous with our emotions. There's a lot of ways to give besides money. And so, yeah, if you can't give money, if you've given all the money you can, but you wish you'd give more, you can't give any more, you can't afford to give, there's other ways to give. We should think of all of our service, all of our giving, in terms of these principles, whether it's financial or some other one. So, right. The widow who gave the mite gave more than everybody else because she gave all she had to live on. Although, I should probably say, I'm not sure Jesus is commending that practice. He never praises her for doing that. He says she just gave more. He just observes that she gave more. And if you look at the context of that chapter, I think it's probably mostly a rebuke of the Pharisees because he just got done saying, "You devour widows' households." Then he points out this poor widow who's giving the last penny that she has to support their system. They had this legalistic system that made people think that they had to do that sort of thing. And I think Jesus is condemning them for that, saying, "Look at the kind of thing you're doing. I don't think God expects you to give your last penny in the offering so that you can't even buy food and then you're going to be dependent on somebody." But your observation is right. You give one penny, if that's all you have, then you're giving more than any other. So God, again, looks at percentages, not amounts. Amounts are irrelevant to him because he's rich, infinitely rich. What matters is the percentage.
Thank you for listening. We pray that in this series your life will be transformed by the soaring ethics, deep insights, and glorious promises of the Sermon on the Mount. We are crowdfunded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.